Here, I'll just move this back here. Something like that. I need stuff for all my stuff. Awesome. That was fun. How do you follow that stuff up? That's not easy. I'll do it with a joke. It's fun. Have you guys ever heard the one where the Pope came in and he was flying into New York? He was going to go speak at the United Nations or something like that. And he flies in, I'll say to LaGuardia. I can't remember. Maybe it was JFK. But one of those airports. They're both in New York-ish, right? One or the other. Maybe Newark. Who knows? Which one's further to the United Nations? We'll say it's the furthest one. Probably Newark. JFK. Okay, we'll go with JFK. And so he is in a hurry because he's supposed to be there. The flight was late, all this other kind of stuff. It was, you know, I don't know, maybe it was weather or whatever it is, but he's trying to get there. And his limo driver was slow. So he's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Limo driver is obviously Catholic, so he's going to be very extra respectful and trying to be obedient and, you know, all that stuff and try and drive faster. And he's starting to weave in and out of traffic and go. Pope's still frustrated, not fast enough. Makes the guy pull over, and he says, that's it, I'm going to drive. So he gets out, switches hats, boom, get in the back, I got us. Boom, guns it, flying through the traffic, all this other kind of stuff. Well, of course, that's going to attract some tension, right? Woo! Pulls over, guy gets out, goes up, finds out, oh my goodness, he's also Catholic, so therefore he recognizes the driver, who happens to be the Pope. It's like, sir, you're whatever they call the Pope and your excellency, whatever, please, I will be right back. He goes back to the, hey, I need to talk to the chief right now. Right now, I need to talk to the chief. Okay, they get the chief on the thing. It's like, we have a little bit of a problem. I pulled somebody over. Who'd you pull over? Well, is he a dignitary? What is he? Well, yeah, a little bit higher. Is he like some sort of a, you know, like what, a senator? Some sort of a, you know, politician? Something like that. A little bit higher. So what, some sort of foreign leader? Well, you know, foreign maybe, but yeah, a little bit higher, right? So he's like, okay, what, tell me, what in the world, who did you pull over? Well, let me put it to you this way. The Pope is his driver. Yep. So if the Pope's driving, someone really important might be in the back of that car, right? So it got me thinking about our passage today. And well, let me ask you this. What's an entourage? What is an entourage? What's that?
A fan club.
A fan club. What else? What's an entourage?
Followers.
Followers. Sure.
Friends, and it's your makeup person, and it's your security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the peeps that hang out with you, right? Your friends, all of those kind of people. Yes, ma'am. Well, they might not say no to the boss. Yeah, a lot of them don't, like, because they want to continue to hang out with. So these are people that there's, like, an important person, and the rest of them are all kind of with them. Now, let me ask you this question. If you have a famous person, what kind of people are hanging out with them, are going to be his friends, you know, these sort of things. I got to thinking about this, right? Like the entourage, who are some of the most famous people that you can think of? Some of the, you know, not necessarily the pop stars, but like maybe some of your favorite. Like, you know, the question, if you ever could have dinner with somebody, who would it be, right? Except for don't choose Jesus in this one. Just, you know, who might some famous people in history be that you think would be pretty awesome?
Queen Elizabeth,
there's one. Who else?
Ben Franklin.
Somebody else?
Alexander Hamilton.
Well, that's funny. We'll have to find out why that's funny later. Who else? These are good.
Fred Rogers,
that's a really good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yep. Mother Teresa, good.
Billy Graham.
I like that one. He might come up later, too.
Ruth Graham.
Is that his wife? Yeah. Okay. Good. So I just wrote down a few. I just kind of a cursory thing, you know, like Gandhi, George Washington, Abe Lincoln. You know, these are all big ones. You could go back. Famous warriors. William Wallace, Gandalf, right? Like, but these are all huge, huge people. And I got to thinking, like, what if that group of people, think of that list of people, what if they were the entourage? What if they were the entourage? Yeah, right? So we've been doing a lot. Last couple weeks, we're in Lent. No, hold on. We're in Advent. Lent will be later. But we're in Advent, right? And Advent this year, we just wanted to be simple. We wanted it to be simple. We wanted to take the more iconic images, if you will, of Christmas and bring them into the service and go through them each week, right? So first week, do you remember what was the first week? Iconic image. It was Mary, right? Mary being told the announcement, or I think it's called the Annunciation, if you want to be technical about it, right? So the Annunciation, where Mary gets informed that she's going to, you know, have this baby. The week after that, we did the star. That was last week, right? We talked about the star, and we talked a little bit more about the Magi. This week, any guesses who were? Shepherds. There we go. Shepherds. We're in the shepherds. So I was thinking about it in the sense of, well, anyway, let's back up just a second, right? Mary gets visited by who?
An angel, the angel
Gabriel, right? Anybody have their Bible? Want to quickly look down to Luke chapter 1, verse 11. You know, Matthew, we're talking about the entourages, right? Matthew paints the picture of Jesus' birth. The entourage is all of the ancestors. All of the ancestors, plus the addition of the Magi coming from the far, right? We're in Luke, though. Luke's a little bit different. It has some different things it highlights, and there's some different reasons for that. But thinking in terms of Luke 1, who has that? Who wants to read that real quick? Yeah, you got it. From the back row. Keep going.
And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John."
Okay, good. We'll start the. Well, you can finish that last sentence. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, is that? That's good for right now. But we get the idea. The angel shows up. And here I am going to wreck the Christmas play. They weren't little cute little angels, right? Like, anybody afraid of any of these kids?
No.
I mean, if you want to put it in a certain context, yes, right? Yeah. There'd be some intimidation going on, but not necessarily fear for your life. Maybe. I was thinking more fear for their life, or, you know, trying to keep it together. But the thing is when these angels show up, what is the immediate response of the people?
Fear.
Fear for their life. Zach thinks he's dead. Luke 1:26, somebody please. Yeah, just for a minute here.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
Okay, we'll hold right there. Looking up this word, she was in great distress. The picture I get is when these angels show up, it might feel like somebody has a loaded gun at your head. Like, this isn't like, you know, they've got to all calm down. This isn't going to, you know, I will not shoot you. I will not harm you, right? But that's the first experience of these people when these angels show up. Got it? And it's sweet that we you know, I was looking at the contrast, and even today, the contrast of this awesome play, right? But we have the little people, angels, that sit on top of the manger scene, and that's so cute and not very fierce, right? In fact, how about if someone wants to turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5? Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each had
angels.
Six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Yep. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Do you want me to keep going?
That's good for right there. Right. Well, you can read the next one because this is the reaction. Like the foundation of this place is shaking. And then, of course, the person hearing it. I know we know this, but this isn't as children-friendly as we sometimes think it is. And I know Christmas is beautiful and gorgeous, and it is full of that, you know, giddiness to it. But this is powerful, powerful. I joke a little bit about, like, how cool it would be at Halloween to do Bible stories on your front lawn. Like the real Bible stories, you know, like Noah's Ark, where, you know, people are drowning, you know, like a graveyard where people are like coming to life, you know, the next, you know, the little thing. We dress the kid up, right, as David carrying Goliath's head around, trick-or-treating, you know. Like this is, you know, this is not necessarily children's stuff. That would be, yeah, I couldn't do that one, but yeah. Oh, man. I'm with you, though. Yeah, 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 exactly. It's fierce. We went to Disneyland, right? And back then, I don't know if they still do it. I haven't been in a while, but they do the thing where the Jedi Academy and all this stuff, and Darth Vader comes out, and you know, you get a little bit scared. They do it pretty well, you know, and you get a little bit nervous, you feel that, and then all of a sudden, Darth Maul comes out, starts like he's a ballerina or whatever, and he's like doing this. I don't know. He's not a ballerina. That just ruined my whole image, didn't it? It just took it out of there. He's a Jedi Master. He's a Sith Lord. And he's coming out fierce and like doing his thing and doing jumps and dancing around, right? And he's coming up, but he's like, pain. And he comes up. There's this kid. We're like, and he comes up right up to the kid. And the kid discharges right there, you know? Like, oh my gosh. Like, he is scary. Like, the poor kid. We're like, oh, you know, like, pull the kid away, right? Like, I'm like, oh my goodness. But that's the thing. Like, you know, these people, it's like, you know, it is scary when these guys show up. Ballerina. They are. The truth of the matter is, okay, so little sidebar, but some of you guys know, maybe you don't, but one of the Eagle football linebackers was a ballerina, and he was one of the better because of the footwork. I mean, and he was saying, this is no joke. Like, I was trained better than most of y'all. So. Anyway, Luke chapter 2. Yes. No. I thought you were saying more. I want to also do a little bit, because you can hear what I'm kind of trying to do here, is trying to get us, slow it down. Don't think ahead if you can help it. You know what's coming. We kind of saw the play. We have this idea of it. But try to slow each passage down or each line down. In that region, there were shepherds living in the field. One of the things that I love, it's coming right off of the fact that Jesus was born in an inn, or in the stable, because there was no place for him at the inn. And the next sentence is, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. than the angel of the Lord. Now, what has happened every time an angel has shown up? Remember that. What has happened every time in the text so far, in Luke only, we're just stealing with Luke here, stealing, dealing, whatever. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around, and they were terrified. What do we think is going to happen if we go slow and base it off the previous two? We've had miracle number one, assignment number two, miracle, impossible. Everything's coming up. What's coming all of a sudden? First of all, the angel's got to, you know, take care of them. Anybody who's discharged or needs some encouragement, do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. Here's your mission. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. That's their assignment. That's the great miracle that they're going to get. You know, Elizabeth's going to have a baby in her old age. Mary's going to have a baby in her young age, in spite of no mechanics to have such a thing, right? Their great, huge, miraculous assignment is go look at this baby. Go find him. And then notice the next verse. All of the tanks start rolling in. One of the pictures, I think, like, you know, remember these angels, right? These are fierce, fierce, fierce creatures. All of heaven opens up. I was thinking even Desert Storm, right? Or Desert Shield, you know, like this display of power. We think of it, oh, that's nice, nice little Christmas song. No, this is the whole, whatever army this is, or maybe it's just a platoon, shows up. Glory to God. Now, remember back when we just read Isaiah? If you think it rattled there, right? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those in whom he favors, in whom he favors. This is the entourage of Jesus Christ. This is his people. This is the most powerful rolling in of the awesome King of Kings, the glory. Hey, little baby. But this is his entourage. These are the people pronouncing, he's coming. The great, great, great King is here. This person that we've been waiting our whole lives for. He made it. It's really small, but the biggest thing they would know in that time is the Romans and all of their might and chariots and all of that stuff. And just Caesar's coming to town, right? And whatever they would roll in on. And you would feel their presence. It would be unnerving when they showed up. It would be interesting. Do I want to see? I got to see Clinton one time. I worked at El Toro Air Base, and he flew in, and you could see him. I was way over there. You know, they put us, even as a Marine, pretty far away from the president, right? Like, you felt, you knew when someone important was showing up on the deal. And all he's doing is bringing peace. If you align with him, if you want to be on his side. The other thing that's awesome about this is verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to who? To us. Shepherds. I don't know if you know it or not, but shepherds are unclean. Nobody liked them. They stunk. They were unclean ritually, right? Think about how you would feel just going and having dinner at Skid Row and just eating with everybody, shaking people's hands and hugging. And, you know, I know it's in vogue to kind of do that to some degree and we get past it, but the smell, right? These people were disdained to be there. There was disdain toward these shepherds, right? But this is who Jesus chooses as his new entourage. To show up, to show himself to. Verse 16, so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had happened to and told them about this child. And all who heard this were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Again, these angels are the ones, they're proclaiming the evangel. Dun da da da, the king is here. The king is here. All rise, the king is here. And these guys got to experience it, and then they go and they tell Mary and Joseph, guess what? The king is here. And they retell the story. They get to proclaim. They get to bear witness. And Mary, of all people, knew who this kid was. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. Everybody that heard it were amazed, and Mary herself was encouraged, bolstered, just by the sharing of God's greatness and what he's done and how he's shown up in these shepherds' lives. And then, of course, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. I love the switch in that. It's from the all of heaven, just power to these little shepherds, these little stinky people that nobody really liked. And there's another part of it that I thought was interesting. I got to read a lot about shepherds this week, and it was really fun. If you ever get a chance, just kind of study the course of it. You know, a lot of times they weren't liked. In the New Testament, it shifts, and that they're not as disdained in the New Testament. So this is honoring to them. But in the Old Testament, or just before this, it was not good. Who was the one shepherd that came before, right? David. So it's like their people group has this one anchor in all of history that kind of gives them somebody, you know, like important or special. Yeah, we remember that guy. He's our hero. He's our guy, right? So now they're getting it switched around. And if you're reading the text and if you're like kind of getting into the story, you're thinking, and you might even hear way back there, this little shepherd boy, this ruddy little kid with puck and whatever stuff to go out to the battlefield and go up against Goliath, right? Everybody wants to identify with the guy who has no fear. Hey, who's that guy cursing our God? I'll take him down. Lions, tigers, gold giants. Oh my, right? Like, you know, they want to identify with this. And for this one brief moment in their lives, they get all of heaven shining in power and glory and in greatness. I thought about like us, the moments when God shows up for us in our little tiny places, maybe our little tiny church, yeah, or your little tiny place of just prayer. Sometimes he gives us a huge show just for you. Tells you a secret just for you to ponder in your heart. And yeah, maybe you share it with everybody. Maybe you just keep it inside. And it's that one little thing that, gosh, between you and God, he rolls out all of heaven for these guys. And I think that he does it for us too. One of my favorite songs of Christmas is Little Drummer Boy. We used to have this tape. It's called The Living Christ. We listen to it all the time. And the part where it does the shepherd, it's a dramatization of like all of Christ's life, right? And in the beginning of it, it does the whole thing, you know, and it takes you through the scriptures, and it kind of synthesizes them a little bit, and it, you know, plays with it dramatically. And in the tape, it has the shepherds, and the angels come, and it kind of focuses on this one little boy who's crippled, right? But all of a sudden, those angels leave, and they go and they find this baby, and he goes into the presence of the king, and they give him, and he doesn't have anything really to give him, but he gives him this, whatever that little thing it was that he was. I can't remember it. But I picture the drummer boy, you know, like he comes in with the with his drum to play for him, and he gives him that one little gift, and then all of a sudden he walks, and all of a sudden he's skipping just by being the presence of God. But I love that part, right? Then he smiled at me. Ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, me and my drum. And again, it reminds us that we don't have much. But if we give it with everything we have, every now and again, God shows up and gives us a smile. Let's pray. God, I pray that we are people who walk in the confidence of knowing you and having the moment with you to where we get to just have glimpses of heaven, whether it be we read your scriptures and remind each other of who you are amongst us, or just simply experience your grace and your love and your smile in our hearts. You treat us so royally. You go out of your way and you take what little things we give you and you make it way better than we could ever do. Thank you for treating us royally. Thank you for making us a part of your entourage, to getting to dance around you and be excited coming in. Stephen, praying right now, just thinking of the whole Aladdin song, Prince Ali, and how everybody's just dancing around as the elephant comes in carrying the prince. Let us be joyful in knowing a secret. The secret of who you are and the secret of what you've come to do. Help us be a part of that redemption in your name. Amen.